tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall, Western Michigan University's Bullock Performance Institute will present a program of new music for saxophone and electric guitar, featuring compositions by composer Ed Martin and John Mayrose, who happens to be the guitarist. Saxophonist Drew Whiting is the featured woodwind player tonight, and I have Drew Whiting, John Mayrose, and Ed Martin all in the studio to preview the program with me this morning here on WMUK. Nice to have you here, guys.
Good morning, Karen. Nice to be here.
Thank you for having us.
You are all coming from the same town, the same school, in fact, where this creative collaboration got started. Maybe Drew, you could tell us about how you all know each other.
Sure. So all of us teach at the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh. So I've now been there 5 years. And so I first got there. It was great. I met John and Ed right away. And as a saxophonist, we really enjoy new music. And right away, I think we struck up friendships, and that soon turned into collaborations.
Were you able to compare experiences? You all seem to be about the similar age. Were you able to compare
close
experiences in you know how you became interested in new music as opposed to more standard styles?
You want to take that, John? Or?
Well, actually, Drew's a little younger than me. I think Drew and I were hired at the same time, and I think in our first faculty meeting, he came and he said, "I play saxophone. You're a composer. I want some music." And so it started pretty quickly like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it did. And I would say I was there about 5 years when these guys joined the faculty. So it was really exciting to have them both come at the same time. And one thing as a composer, it's just so wonderful to have performers to collaborate with, especially those that are so interested in performing new music. So when Drew came on board, I think right away we started working together. And I think you played a piece of mine within the first year of joining the faculty.
That's right, yeah, because I played Biota at that first Wired concert.
I think since then we've been collaborating ever since. So it's been really a great professional relationship.
You have a connection with Western Michigan University through a composer on the faculty here named Christopher Biggs. Mm-hmm. And how long have you been acquainted with Christopher?
I first met Chris, it was two summers ago? I think when John and I went to the Toronto International Electroacoustic Symposium, TIES, that's where I first met Chris. And then since then, starting to see him at different electroacoustic music festivals, and I've really enjoyed his work. And I played a piece of his just a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. We brought Chris into University of Wisconsin Oshkosh, he's great. Really like Chris.
Yeah, and this is John. I met Chris in 2005 at the Oregon Bach Festival, where I had a piece premiered, and met him then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is Ed. I think one of the nice things about our field is that, in a way, it's such a small world. You know, we get to know each other. Us working in Oshkosh, Chris working here in Kalamazoo, we see each other at various events, various performances, and concerts throughout the country, and you get to know people. It's just a really wonderful thing. So I think I met Chris for the first time about 10 years ago. I'm just so impressed with his music, and he's just one of those people you just want to meet and see what he's doing musically and artistically and learn what he's doing, and just kind of sparked up a friendship since then.
So the community of people who perform and compose new music is a pretty tight one.
I would say so.
And you're all often making ways and opportunities for each other's music to be heard through the festivals you mentioned. Chris has started the Splice Festival here. And it must feel pretty good to see music advance this way, so much new music being created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we'd all agree with that. We're all shaking our heads. Yeah. It's really a wonderful thing, and I think collaboration is such an important thing for musicians, for artists in general. It's been a fantastic thing.
Yeah, and collaboration, and you really do see that sense of community, and especially I think what Chris has done with the Splice Festival and the Institute. I actually attended the Institute this past summer.
Right.
And I hope to come back again this summer. I mean, it's just... every time I go to one of these events, you meet more people and you get new ideas. It's really inspiring. Every time I think I go to one of these, I come back to my work feeling inspired, feeling I want to do more, I want to explore more. And so, yeah, it's wonderful and supportive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is playing saxophone not hard enough that you have to seek out ways to extend its range and sound?
Yeah, I think just the nature of being a saxophonist. I mean, we have this kind of wonderful history. We don't quite fit into the standard, symphonic canon, but and so I think when it comes to the saxophone as a concert instrument, really experimentation has been at the core of it. And I think it will continue to be that way for a long time. I mean, it's just part of our culture and part of our community that we always want to do more. We always want to see what else is possible. I mean, this in the past year, I think I've premiered, six, seven pieces in the last year. It seems like that's almost the norm. Now, you just always want new things. You want to try to do more.
Well, this concert is tonight at 7:30 p.m. There is a live and interactive portion beginning at 7 where you can meet the performers and hear a little more about where they're coming from. Drew Whiting, John Mayrose, and Ed Martin featured tonight in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. John, let's hear about your experience maybe transitioning from regular guitar to new music guitar.
Yeah, well, I can go back to my background. When I was a kid, all my friends wanted to be in a rock band, wanted to have a rock band, and they all played guitar, and so they said they needed a bass player. So I said I was going to pick up bass, and my mom wouldn't let me do that. I had to start on acoustic guitar. So I was a classical guitarist, and I got my undergrad degree in classical guitar, and I actually transitioned from being a performer to being a composer after undergraduate. And then I think in my 30s, I picked up an electric guitar, and so I've been playing that since.
So were you glad to go back to, physically making the instrument your voice?
Yeah, I mean, I think I never really stopped playing. I just kind of transitioned into another way of playing. Okay. One of the things about being a performer that I always kind of hated was you can't go back and fix it. So I would always get very frustrated by mistakes. I think when I stop thinking that I'm going to be a performer, I'm going to be more of a composer and perform when I can, I'm much more willing to accept mistakes and go from there. So,
because the perfected piece is on paper somewhere.
Right.
And you wrote it down. Mm-hmm. Stylistically, what do you draw from?
For me, I draw a lot from, in the concert world, a lot from minimalism. And I also use a lot of, popular music in my, a lot of electric guitar type things. So, so there's a lot of popular music influence in my music.
Great. Other styles coming into tonight's program?
I'd say it's kind of varied in a way. Like John said, his music has a certain kind of style. Mine has a certain kind of style. I think there's some similarities between what we do, but there's also going to be some really nice contrast in the program.
Mm-hmm. What was your instrument to begin
with? My instrument's piano.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe next time we get together, we'll add a piano to the mix. But it didn't work out for this time. But I think it's – so my background is I started playing piano when I was a kid, taking lessons like anyone else. I also played saxophone early on, so I'm familiar with that instrument. And I really, for me, composition started when I was pretty young. I would just sit at the piano, and rather than practice what I was supposed to be practicing, a lot of times I just play little tunes and improvise. And luckily, I had a piano teacher who was actually very supportive of that. So she encouraged improvisation, encouraged composition. And that was just, now that I look back, that was so beneficial. Mm-hmm. And I went to college and studied composition.
Mm-hmm. Where
and
was
here
that?
We are. I went to college in the University of Florida, in Gainesville. Mm-hmm.
Is that where you're from originally?
I'm actually from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
So, yeah, went somewhere a little warmer.
And how's Oshkosh these days?
Cold.
Yeah.
Very cold.
Before we went on the air, I said something about, you said you hadn't really checked out Kalamazoo before. And I said, it's pretty great. It's got a great name and it's a pretty great town. But I think you're rivaling Kalamazoo with the name Oshkosh.
I think so, yeah. Nice thing to say. In all seriousness, Oshkosh is, for us, I think we'd all agree, it's a great place to work as musicians. On our faculty at University of Wisconsin Oshkosh, we have a wonderful faculty of other musicians who are willing to collaborate, willing to play new music, to try different things, and they're just fantastic musicians and fantastic people to work with. Mm-hmm. So in terms of an artistic community, it's a really fantastic place to be.
And your students, do you all teach composition, or who here teaches composition, I guess?
So Ed and I teach composition.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Drew, you're on faculty as a performance
teacher. Yeah, so I teach saxophone, chamber music, and I also work in the music theory area a little bit. I teach aural skills and music theory. And John and I actually co-direct an experimental music ensemble that we formed just a few years ago at UW Oshkosh. And that's been really fun to do that as well.
You said you were from Michigan.
Yes. I just a little down 94. I grew up in Jackson, Michigan.
Okay. So, and Michigan State, did you mention?
Yes. Yeah. I did my undergrad and master's at Michigan State University.
So. Is the teacher you worked with Mr. Joe Lula?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Joe is just, he's an amazing performer and just was a fantastic teacher and continues to be a fantastic, you know, mentor. And yeah, just, I love Joe to death.
Well, listeners will be able to hear his student, Drew Whiting, tonight, along with John Mayrose on electric guitar and music of Mayrose as well as Ed Martin, and the concert begins at 7:30 tonight. Tickets are available at the door or through the Miller Auditorium box office, milleraudatorium.com. Fellas, let's hear a little music. I know there's some options we have. What should we start with, do you think, John?
We could start with my piece, Random Access, which I wrote for Drew. In this piece, it's for saxophone, alto saxophone, and electronics. And what happens is all the electronics are created from the live saxophone. Drew plays, the computer knows what he's playing and grabs certain parts of what he's playing, then reorders it, and then spits it back out. So there are times where Drew's playing with just another version of himself, and sometimes he's playing with up to 20 or 30 saxophones at the same time.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I have heard Christopher Biggs explain this as well. He writes the program that creates that. Is that what you did?
Yeah, I used a program called Max and wrote a – I had to write a whole algorithm and a whole timing mechanism so that I could know what he was doing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let us sample Random Access here with composer John Mayrose and performer Drew Whiting. Intense. That is a piece of very new music by composer John Mayrose, who is in the studio here, along with the performer, saxophonist Drew Whiting. And they are performing Mayrose's music as well as Ed Martin's music tonight in the Dalton Center Recital Hall as part of the Bullock Performance Institute series. So many questions, John. During this piece, I had to ask. I think I started with Drew and like, Drew, what are you playing? how do I listen to this? How do I know what's live and what's coming back as loops and various things? It's so complex, but it's one person.
One person, yep.
Playing the whole piece.
Mm-hmm.
What a design.
Yeah, it was. It took a lot of planning. One of the hardest things I had to do was anytime I wanted music, I had to make sure that it happened beforehand. So it was, you know, if I was thinking, in minute three, I wanted something to happen. I had to make sure that somewhere before that he had played some music that I could grab.
From minute one?
Minute one. The first note of the piece, I think, is still used for a while in there. So.
And as you're performing this piece, Drew, how easy is it? I mean, it must be so... it's so distracting to hear yourself playing on all these levels.
Yeah. The process of playing the piece, I'm pretty soon after he wrote the piece and he made the program, we made a recording really quickly after that so that I could listen to it. Because, I mean, you can't generate the entire piece without me playing it. So I think pretty soon we made a rough recording, and then I could at least listen to it and kind of get comfortable with hearing the structure of the piece and be able to work my way through it. When I perform it with a click track, because I have to be like really strictly in time through the entire thing. And so I guess performing it, I'm so focused on the click track because I can't vary from it.
And you can't stop and go, that's cool.
No. I really can't. And it's, you know, John did a wonderful job with the piece. It's one of my favorites to perform. And it's just really enjoy it.
Yeah, and I think it was a learning process. I mean, one of the advantages I had is that I knew I was writing this piece for Drew. We lived in the same town. We see each other a lot. So I had him coming over on a regular basis to try things out to see what would work and what wouldn't work. So, you know, if I was working with another saxophonist that wasn't as close of a collaborator, I probably couldn't have made this piece happen. It was having somebody who would put that much time into doing this really difficult thing that made it work.
So this wasn't just going down a road you'd gone before.
No, I had never done anything like this before. So this was, I got a grant to write this piece where I proposed that I would write a piece for saxophone and electronics where all the electronics would be generated from the saxophone. And what the saxophone would play would be cut up and reorganized. And I think early on in the process, I think within the first week of writing this piece, I immediately regretted that proposal. But I had to do it, so I figured out some way to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it a frequently listening back process? Or were you often in silence but just making plans and charts and things like that?
Yeah, so composing this, composers, we usually think of them as having a piece of paper and writing all the music out on the score, and that wasn't something I could do here. So I was programming and composing at the same time. So I'd think, ooh, I want to have this happen. So I'd write a program that would do it, and then I'd use a synthesizer to play into it and hear it being looped or being cut up and reorganized.
So you were able to get immediate feedback from
someone. I mean, with technology today, it's pretty easy to get immediate feedback on something like that. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the structure a little more. I mean, I've heard it one time, but it seems like it has episodes.
Yeah, I would think there's kind of three to four sections, maybe. Mm-hmm. It starts pretty innocently. It's just Drew and one other saxophone, and he's just playing back and forth. And then over time, another saxophone comes in, and then over time, another one, and then they just kind of keep piling up. There's this kind of, I think of it as kind of a pretty middle section, mm-hmm. where it's pretty straightforward, just delays, which means it's just he plays something and then it gets played back a few seconds later on multiple levels. And then towards the end, the tempo ramps up, and actually the end's the same music that happened earlier, just much faster and many more saxes. And I think at the end there's 30 saxes playing at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm just layering over and over again everything he's playing.
Intensifying.
Yes.
Yeah, I was, you know, my hands started to sweat near the end of the piece. You call it random access.
Right. So obviously there's nothing random about the piece. Random access refers to random access memory, which is I'm using that in the computer to store all the information. And one of the interesting things about random access memory, I'm not a computer scientist, so I might be a little wrong here, but the computer finds anywhere in the memory to be able to store things and then retrieves it from anywhere. So that idea kind of works with this piece where all of this music's stored and then it's just retrieved as it's needed.
The concert again is tonight at 7:30, and you can arrive at 7 to hear live and interactive portion of the series where the performers will give you a little detail and background on the music. We've just covered one piece so far. Random Access is on tonight's program. I'm assuming that you really can't change any. It will sound very much the same.
A successful
performance.
Yes. yes, that successful is key.
But I do think the difference between a studio recording and a concert hall, a live performance, will be a world of difference in terms of how your own ears hear and process.
And it's watching him play, and then you can actually see where the sounds are coming from. Yeah.
Well, maybe we could hear about a piece featured that Ed Martin is going to be hearing tonight, that you've written for the program. I think the piece you brought along is not on the program, but it's
that's
an example.
Correct. Yeah, and it's very similar. So the piece tonight Drew is going to be playing is called Break. And in some ways, it's very similar to John's piece in that all the sounds that you hear are from Drew. It's just done in a very different way.
Really?
Done in a very different way. The way I worked in this piece is, well, of course, again, Drew and I decided we were going to collaborate on a new piece. And, you know, I said, Drew, what do you like to play? And I know Drew likes to play all kinds of crazy sounds on the saxophone. So I thought maybe I'd take that as a starting point. And we went in the recording studio and spent, maybe two sessions, a couple hours. And I just pressed record, and Drew improvised some sounds. And we, you know, kind of standard pitches, standard sounds, but also all kinds of multiphonics and different sound effects and key clicking, just so I can have a wide variety of sounds to choose from. And then I went in the studio and mixed those sounds together. And while doing that, wrote down a part, some of it transcribing what Drew had played, composing other things to make the saxophone part. And this piece is for Barry saxophone, so different than the one you heard with John, which is the alto saxophone.
Oh.
So a different sound there. But kind of composed it all by mixing the sounds together and notating sounds for Drew to play. So again, it's a piece where everything that's heard tonight on the concert will be from Drew's playing, but a very different in terms of style and different in approach. So it's a nice, I think, companion to John's piece.
Is this what we might have called for live instrument and tape?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So Drew's going to be playing along with sort of a pre-recorded track that was basically designed specifically for that piece.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what we call it in the old days.
I'm thinking about, you said your studio, I'm thinking about how composers work today. Mm-hmm. Do you each have a very, specific for you setup? Or are there really common tools that you all have in your studios? Do you call them rigs? What are some of the tools that you'd see?
Mm-hmm. Well,
go ahead,
John.
I think one of the things that's we've seen happen in the past 6 years, 5 years, is that more and more hardware is just a computer. That almost everything that we used to have hardware synthesizers or hardware samplers, we now just have all internally in a computer. So composing is pretty much having a computer.
Mm-hmm. But don't you have to have something to actually play on or, you know?
Yeah, we do. And I think just in my studio, I think we have a lot of similarities in how ours look. We both have pianos in our studios. We both have computers. And my typical way of working is I'll have a piano with some actual manuscript paper and a pencil, and I'll jot down ideas and improvise on the piano. But then I have a swivel chair, and I'll swivel right around to my desk with my computer and my recording equipment. So it's really a lot of back and forth. Using old technology and new technology.
So you do get to kind of make your own bespoke studios for your workflow.
Yeah, I think so.
Feels most creative.
Yes, for sure.
Let's remind listeners, the concert's tonight at 7:30. My guests here today are composer and guitarist John Mayrose, who's performing with saxophonist Drew Whiting, and Ed Martin is the composer we just heard from. The piece on the program is called Break, and it will feature Drew playing with himself again in this case, with a sort of a pre-composed
track,
recording.
You might call it,
So tell me about the piece that we will hear, an example of your work.
Well, we're going to hear a piece called Biota. And this is a piece that's, again, the recording we're going to hear now is performed by Drew. It's an excellent fantastic performance. This piece I composed a number of years ago for another saxophonist named Michael Holmes, who's based out of Chicago, another great saxophonist. And this is very similar to Break in that the approach was the same. So in the composition of this piece, Michael Holmes and I went to the studio and recorded a bunch of takes of different kind of sounds for the tenor saxophone. And the same process, I went in the studio and then composed the piece. So it's a very similar kind of piece in the process. It sounds quite different from Break. So if you do come to the concert tonight, you'll hear a bit of contrast in the sound and style of the piece. It's similar in the way I composed it for sure.
And the performer again?
Michael Holmes.
Thank you. Okay. Music is live tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. We are listening to new music with composer Ed Martin, a piece called Biota. Is that the entire title of that work?
That is the entire title.
And mm-hmm. We need to credit the proper performer.
We certainly do. I misspoke earlier. The piece was composed for a saxophonist, Michael Holmes. That performance, that wonderful performance, is by Drew Whiting.
And the piece tonight is called Break.
The piece tonight is called Break. Mm-hmm.
Which is completely adapted from Drew's playing.
It is.
On Barry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Saxophone. Mm-hmm. So a different piece, but we just heard a bit of the flavor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Same sort of techniques were used in composing these pieces.
I love that the two pieces we've heard so far are so very different, and yet they share the same performer. Mm-hmm. It's extraordinary. The concert, for those who just tuned in, is a concert of new works by John Mayrose and Ed Martin. Tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall here at Western Michigan University. These three gentlemen are visiting from the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, and they have a connection with our new music composer, Christopher Biggs, who hosts the Splice Festival and the Splice Institute here at Western Michigan University. And we started the interview talking about how this is a community that shares ideas, creativity. You get a chance to hear each other's works fairly often by attending concerts and festivals like mm-hmm. the one from last week. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. We should probably try to quickly mm-hmm. run down some of the other works for tonight since we've already sure. established the variety is there. The concert begins with Andromeda Shakes. Could you talk about that, John?
Yeah, that's actually the right when Drew and I formed this duo. That's the first piece I wrote for us. Mm-hmm. It's pretty straightforward. It's electric guitar, saxophone, and there's some electronics that are in there. It starts off kind of soft, has a pretty middle section, and ends pretty rocking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I like the electronics in it, I think, are very different than what we heard in Random Access. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool to kind of have that variety.
Yeah, they're kind of retro synthesizer sounds.
They sound very cool. And, yeah, very cool.
Then you'll take up the Barry saxophone and play Break.
Yes.
By Ed Martin. Mm-hmm. Then it's called Downriver to the Rhythm of Rowers. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in Boston.
Actually, it's from a 1960s book of Egyptian love poems that had this one line, and I kind of liked the line, so I titled it that. That's for electric guitar and electronics. I play that solo. And in a lot of that, it's similar to Random Access in that it's overlaying. Mm-hmm. Only it's me playing, so it's much easier. And it's a lot more free. One of the neat things that happens with that is the computer listens and it cuts off the attack of the guitar, so it creates this kind of organ, glassy kind of organ sound that doesn't sound anything like a guitar.
Is that romantic imagery? Is that poetic, like sort of Song of Songs?
No, I think of it kind of like the, you know, the idea of rowing and just the kind of repetition of it and the slow moving rowing.
So not Cleopatra.
No.
Okay. And the concert closes up with another piece by Ed Martin called Vortex.
Vortex. And this is a premiere tonight, so I'm very excited to hear this performance. First time anyone will hear this piece. And again, this is something that Drew and John talked about, me writing a piece for them for this concert and doing that collaboration. So, of course, I said yes. The interesting thing about this piece is two of the guitar strings are tuned a quarter tone flat. So one thing I wanted to try was doing some interesting harmonies with quarter tones.
Idea.
I know. We'll find out tonight, I suppose. It really made some interesting harmonies. And it's, yeah, and I had a lot of fun working with that. So that's, yeah, kind of the unique thing about this piece. It's kind of a rockin' piece, and it's a completely different style in a way from Break and even the piece that we heard earlier that Drew performed, Biota. So
how long does it take your ear to adjust to two strings being quarter tone flat?
You know, the funny thing is, to me now, if I heard it without the quarter tones, it sounds completely wrong. And I think you said that too, John, when you were practicing.
Yeah, I was practicing the other day, and I was lazy. I didn't want to detune the strings, and I started playing through it, and it sounded terrible. So so it's good.
And Drew plays some quarter tones on saxophone, too.
I play a lot of quarter tones, man.
Yeah, maybe not some.
So you can break a pitch from on the scale, you know, into four parts before you get to the next pitch?
Yes, and so with different fingerings and some manipulation, I can break down into quarter tones. But for the challenge for me, I mean, as musicians, we spend, I mean, so many hours practicing our lovely diatonic scales and developing that technique. And then all of a sudden I get this piece with tons and tons of quarter tones, and my fingers at first just did not know what to do. I mean, I played pieces with quarter tones, but this is the most that I've played in a piece.
Most quarter tones for your money, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's been a fun challenge. It's kind of almost learning new technique for the instrument. So,
This is very, pretty exciting. every piece different in its own way, and yet there are only two performers tonight, guitarist, electric guitarist John Mayrose and saxophonist Drew Whiting. Time for final thoughts. Anything we may have missed about the concert tonight? I'll start on my left, John.
No, I think you hit it right on the money. This is, now that I'm thinking about it, these five pieces are so drastically different. It's going to be really a great variety of sounds.
Ed?
I agree. I think come to the concert and you're going to hear some really fantastic music by great musicians. And yeah. And thank you, Kara. We've enjoyed being here.
You're welcome. Drew?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. Yeah, there's so much variety. And not only with writing the electronics, but then I'm playing three sax. I'm playing alto, tenor, and baritone saxophones tonight. So it's
and all the notes in between.
And yeah, and everything else in between. So it's, yeah, it's wonderful having this collaboration. I mean, I really enjoy my time with my colleagues, and it's been wonderful from professional, also personal and musical. So,
well, thank you so much. And why don't we leave listeners with Down River to the Rhythm of Rowers, a recording that you brought along, John. Did you make this?
Yes, this is me playing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, John, Ed, and Drew, and have a great concert tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
It's at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. It's part of the Bullock Performance Institute series. Tickets available at the door or through the Miller Auditorium box office, milleroditorium.com, or 387-2300. And show up at 7 p.m. if you want to meet the composers and performers in person with a little more discussion led by Dr. Robert White. Here's music of John Mayrose.